Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all know baseball is a long season. I'm Brett Boone from the Brett Boone Podcast. This summer, take a trip down memory lane with me and hear from the legends of the game. So far this year, I've had conversations with Randy Johnson, Pete Rose, Deion Sanders. Plus, every week we look at the state of Major League Baseball, which teams are exceeding expectations, which ones are struggling to meet them. Follow and listen to the Brett Boone Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning. Welcome into Tuesday. I'm Kim St. Ange filling in for Mark, who is enjoying some time off in Italy with some listeners on the Conservative Tours trip. And he'll be back in about a week and a half. So until then, Scott Jagow filling in for me down the desk.
Good morning.
And of course, Carl Middleman, Sue Thomas helping you navigate any traffic. And I have to tell you, Carl, you were playing that song that you've been hearing now in and out of a couple breaks.
See, but if you haven't heard it yet, you haven't heard it yet.
No, I know why you're playing it. I figured it out. But it makes me think every time because I know you're very intentional about every song you play. And I won't tell people why. I'll let them figure it out because it's really a 90s song, which is my era. That's when I grew up. But I will tell you this as your hint. If you've never somehow heard of this, today is the last day of April. So what does that mean for tomorrow?
It means that you've never been on the internet before.
I think some people listening are going to be confused. I'm a 90s
baby. I'm confused.
I squeaked into the 80s, was raised in the 90s pretty much, and I had to think about that for a second. Did you know?
No.
See?
I'll tell you at the break.
All right.
I want to let people figure it out. That's my hint, though. Today is the last day of April. What does that mean? Tomorrow will be. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, there's a lot going on. If you're looking at the networks, which is what I'm doing right now, we have all the monitors up in our studio here in downtown, and they're all covering what's happening across all these college campuses. But the craziest one really has been Columbia. You know, they had that 2 o'clock deadline yesterday that basically meant nothing. Then they come out and say, we're going to start suspending students who won't remove their tents. Still didn't really do much. Some people left. Then they came back overnight, and that's when things kind of got out of hand. They were using hatchets and hammers, and they were busting into Hamilton Hall, which is where the dean's office is located, barricading themselves in there, using zip ties to try to block entrances, furniture, whatever they could find, chanting. I don't know where it goes from here. It seems like every time I look at videos of these college campuses, it's the number of people involved has grown. And the thought in my head is like, are this many people delusional? Like, seriously, have they all bought into this lie? How are these people truly believing that Hamas, Palestine is being held hostage basically by Israel for all these years? And the occupation, you see a lot of those signs.
Yeah, I think it goes back to people not really knowing what they're talking about, kind of jumping on the bandwagon of protesting and not taking into consideration the feelings of their fellow Jewish students. We just heard a clip on Fox News of a woman saying she hasn't been to, or her, some of her friends have not been to campus in 2 weeks because they are scared to death of the rhetoric and what it might mean physically, emotionally, you know, just kind of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
And we're going to get to our shortlist here in a second. But first, you talked to Megan Green, who was on WashU's campus when she was not arrested, but now she's supposedly been barred from campus. I guess she's a professor there. Didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
What did she tell you?
She told me that she thought the police used excessive force and were aggressive when the students were being passive and eating snacks. That's the term she used. And then things just got out of hand. That was how she described what happened.
You mean when people were repeatedly asked to get off of private property and they were asked nicely and I don't know how many times, but multiple times, and they still refused, so they decided to take action? Is that what she's referring to?
Yeah, I think from their perspective, the people that are protesting, including her, they probably see it differently than other people see it and how the police sees it.
Yep.
And so, you know, she says it that way, but it doesn't mean it's the truth.
Yes. Well, I'll be curious to hear from Dr. Jill Stein. She's the Green Party presidential candidate. She says she was invited to WashU's protest. She was among the 100 or so people arrested over the weekend. I believe her campaign manager was also in the mix. And so she's doing a live interview with us this morning at about 8:35. But like I mentioned, there's so much going on today. Let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
If you get the call, I've heard you answer this at least once already.
Yeah.
But I sense that the momentum is going to go in that way. Like, you ready?
I'm ready.
Let me interpret that for you, Tulsi Gabbard. She's basically saying, pick me, pick me, pick me. She wants to be Trump's VP pick. And honestly, I could kind of see it.
We're talking about a president who understands what it feels like to sit around your kitchen table and have to make difficult decisions. We get that. He gets that.
No, he doesn't, Karine Jean-Pierre. Does anyone believe the words that just came out of her mouth? How long has Joe Biden been a Washington, D.C. politician, bought and paid for? Okay, yeah, leave it there.
If you have a really challenging dog, there are countless organizations to rehome them to somebody who loves the dog enough.
It might be
I want justice for Cricket. This is, it's terrible.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, and someone to be rumored as a possible VP pick for Trump, admits to shooting her 14-month-old dog about years ago in a memoir she wrote. Why she felt it was necessary to admit that in a book she wrote, I don't understand that.
The most that I can ask of our community is that we honor and respect them for all the work that they've done for our city to be safer.
That was the Charlotte, North Carolina mayor getting a little bit emotional there as she's reacting, responding to the situation that unfolded yesterday. Four law enforcement officers were killed, four others wounded, all because they were going to a home trying to serve a warrant. The guy inside that supposedly was a felon illegally possessing a weapon, a gun, tried to serve him a warrant. All of a sudden, he opens fire on them. They end up shooting that suspect. He dies in the front yard of this home. But then all of a sudden, shots start getting fired additionally from inside the home. And it is just absolutely devastating. Yet again, law enforcement, these officers who put their lives on the line for us every single day and get so much hatred. People, you've seen them being shouted at with these protests. They're just trying to protect everybody and follow marching orders. And I heard one protester, it was maybe UT Austin, who was saying, pigs, 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 and, you know, spitting at him and shouting at him and pushing back on him. And it's just devastating watching what unfolded in North Carolina yesterday.
Yeah, I used to live in Charlotte, and my parents and sister still live there. And so I'm very familiar with that city, and it's heartbreaking. It really is. And, you know, I don't know if this was a no-knock warrant or not, but officers can get themselves in some pretty bad situations when serving these things.
I know. I mean, you wouldn't think of this as being a really intense situation, but I can imagine emotions are high, and I could be wrong. If there's any police officers listening, feel free to reach out and let me know if I'm wrong, but I thought I had heard somewhere that serving warrants and responding to any sort of like a domestic violence situation, those can be two of the most dangerous situations for officers to go in. And then you think about how the St. Louis Police Department's 300 or so officers short. We instead want counselors to go who are only working like 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. So there should be multiple officers who are going on these calls, because you don't know when someone, like in this case, is just going to start opening fire on you. What did your family say since they live in Charlotte, and having lived there yourself? I mean, this is a safe area, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's pretty safe, East Charlotte. I haven't talked to them about this yet, but that's a pretty safe part of town, actually.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, people shaken there, and one of the law enforcement officers, by the way, at least three of the officers who died were with the U.S. Marshals Task Force, saying in like 30 or so years, he's never seen violence like this on police that he's encountered. I would imagine more will unfold about this today. So there could be some sort of a press conference where we'll get more information, because I think only one person's name has been released at this point of the officers. And like I said, there's four people wounded, officers wounded. And I think one of them is in very critical condition. So we're hoping that person, that officer, can pull through. We're thinking about all the families, people in Charlotte who are understandably very shaken. Okay. 6:22, I said we were giving away Stevie Nicks tickets, so we're going to be doing that next. And then after that, we're talking to former Senator John Lamping. I have a lot of questions because there was some new information, some new polling results that came out with the governor's race here in Missouri. We also have sports betting. They apparently got enough signatures to get it on the ballot. We're going to chat with him about that after the break. I'm Kim St. Ange, in for Mark Cox.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. We promised Stevie Nicks tickets, and we're going to do that right now. This is the Tuesday, May 7th concert at the Enterprise Center. So here's the number you're going to call. It's 314-241-9797. Let's go with... Ethan's just back from vacation, so let's be nice to him. How about caller...
80.
90! I'm kidding. How about caller number 9? So be caller number 9. Call the number 314-241-9797, and you could win tickets to Stevie Nicks on Tuesday, May 7th at the Enterprise Center. Good luck.
And she does do this song. She does a whole bunch of Fleetwood Mac songs.
I feel like this is the song that I know. Like, this is the classic where you have to.
In fact, I think it's like song 2 or 3.
I mean, it's one of those things where if you go to a concert, there's certain songs you absolutely expect the artist to play.
Yeah, but
to sing.
She's by herself, so you don't know if she's going to play Fleetwood Mac songs or not.
Okay, that's fair.
But she is.
But it'd be such a disappointment. I understand artists probably think, well, that's an old song, and I have newer songs, and yada yada. I'm talking
about
playing hits. Other artists, but I feel like I'm sorry. There's just certain songs that was like your big hit. I don't care if it was 20 years ago. We expect to hear it if we're paying $90 for a ticket. I don't know what these tickets are going for, but I did see online when I checked the Stevie Nicks tickets. It said in St. Louis, in particular, that the tickets were selling very quickly.
Yes, it's a week from today.
Yeah. Wow. You're right. Because tomorrow,
it's gonna be May.
All right, we need to talk about this whole situation with Jamal Bowman. Does that name sound familiar? He's the congressman who notoriously pulled the fire alarm when he was trying to delay a vote and caused everyone to be evacuated. And he's like, oh, no, I accidentally did it. Oh, you're right. We all accidentally pull the fire alarm. That's probably happened to you, Scott, right? You accidentally pull the fire alarm quite a bit.
Never.
No? It happens to all of us so often here at Odyssey. We're regularly having to evacuate.
Yes. Although I remember a moment when I brushed up against it.
And then it just automatically
went off.
It just went off. I know it happens to the best of us. So he has this brilliant idea of bringing over all these refugees here to the United States. Carl, play clip number 5 for us.
Anyone escaping persecution and oppression and violence, the United States has always been an open home to those people. So whether they're coming from Palestine, Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, Mexico, Haiti. They're coming here to contribute to our economy, which 99.9% of them are.
Oh, okay. They are? 99.9% are? I have two words for you, Jamal Bowman, and I want you to listen very closely. Lakin Riley. What would Lakin Riley's family say about that? Really, 99.9%? It takes a very short Google search to see a long list of crimes that these illegals, these migrants, these quote-unquote newcomers have committed. Here's one. Migrant charged with child sex crimes in Virginia released twice before ICE arrest. Another one. Illegal immigrant charged with horrific child sex crime. Absolutely, there are some people who are coming from all around the world who have amazing intentions, and they will be productive members of society. They need to come over legally, and they need to be vetted. That's not racist. That's not hateful. That's not discriminatory. That is doing our due diligence as a sovereign country to make sure we keep our borders secure, to protect Americans. That's what we need to be doing. That is more important than wanting to welcome every single person just because they want to claim asylum. That's gone to hell in a handbasket at the southern border. Everyone's claiming asylum.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem. You say that magic word and it's like, all right, come on in. Here's your debit card. Go spend it however you'd like. Here's whatever else they're giving them these days. No. Does the Biden administration need a lesson on what asylum is?
Apparently.
That is very different from my country. I don't like the way that they run their government, or I don't like the leader. No. Asylum is, it is so corrupt. It is so dangerous that you are worried for your life, for your family's life, and you are fleeing to protect yourselves. That is what seeking asylum is. And I have to imagine that 99.9%, to quote you, Jamal Bowman, of the people who are claiming that, that is not their situation.
You know, it's a serious problem when states that aren't even remotely close to the border, like Missouri, for example, are sending people down there and dealing with this issue because there's a lot of fentanyl coming in through these people coming across the border, and then crimes are being committed in our state.
Yes. It is alarming. Listen to this clip. This is Karine Jean-Pierre yesterday talking about border executive action on it. Play clip number two.
In the meantime, we always said that we don't believe moving with an executive action is the way to go. We want to see that proposal, but we're always going to look at all options. I don't have a decision to be made. I don't have anything to announce, but you know, we're going to continue to call on Republicans, call on Congress to move that bipartisan Senate proposal forward.
And the Democrats blame the Republicans, saying, we gave you an opportunity to do something about the border and you did nothing. Their bill did nothing. That was the problem. They're not going to sign some phony bill. We're going to call them on their BS and say, we have to do more. Why is he not willing to take executive action? Because he doesn't want to do anything about it. That's why. He wants all those people to pour across our country and become Democrats and vote blue. Truly, I believe that is seriously how they hope to keep in office. All these people who are like, wow, this president welcomed me in here. I'm going to support him. He's giving me all this money at no cost. This Amex card? Fantastic. You have my vote, Joe Biden. Give me a break. After the break, we're talking to former Senator John Lamping about some of these Missouri races. We have new poll numbers about the governor's race. Could these college protests, could they impact this race? We're going to break it all down coming up. I'm Kim St. Ange, and for Mark Cox.
We all know baseball is a long season. I'm Brett Boone from the Brett Boone Podcast. This summer, take a trip down memory lane with me and hear from the legends of the game. So far this year, I've had conversations with Randy Johnson, Pete Rose, Deion Sanders. Plus, every week we look at the state of Major League Baseball, which teams are exceeding expectations, which ones are struggling to meet them. Follow and listen to the Brett Boone Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Kim St. Anjan for Mark. He'll be back in about a week and a half. And we saw some new statewide numbers about the governor's race here in Missouri. And right now we have former Senator John Lamping joining us. So perfect timing to be able to break this down for us. John, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Kim. It's great to be with you. I'm kind of disappointed we weren't doing the show remotely from Italy.
Oh, but, man. I know. Mark was texting me this morning at like 1 a.m. So I guess it would be, what, 8 or 9 Italy time? probably eating a delicious breakfast.
I got my text at 2:30.
You can't. The guy just loves news. He's always trying to think of ideas. That's what he was sending me, was story ideas.
Right. Yeah. So, we got some polling numbers out of the Ashcroft campaign. But the good news is that the Missouri legislature only has, it's 2 weeks from Friday and they'll be done. And they haven't done too many bad things. So looking forward to the end of session. But I think when the Ashcroft campaign, they released their internal poll. The poll showed Jay well ahead of Mike Kehoe by almost 25 points. And the interesting thing on the poll is it showed Kehoe with 11 points in total, but it only had Igel at 3 points. So I'm sure the Igel campaign would take issue with that. But I think the reason that poll came out is that as we get closer to the end of the legislative session, is now is the time when all of the campaigns for statewide office will really start to heat up. And Kehoe has such a huge advantage with respect to fundraising. He's got almost double what the other two candidates have combined, that I think what's happening with the key with Ashcroft is Ashcroft knows that Kehoe is getting ready to start to spend that money. And I think you'll see a big spend by Kehoe throughout the month of May to try to narrow that gap. And the other campaigns don't really have the money to start advertising the way Kehoe will start advertising.
Because there's about 100 or so days, I think, until the election. For this race and other statewide races. So with for example, Kehoe spending that money in May and the months leading up, I mean, how much of a difference do you think that could make in these numbers that we're seeing right now with Kehoe, I'd say, pretty significantly behind Ashcroft?
It'll make a huge difference. The thing that all of these polls show is that no one really knows anything about these candidates. They know the Ashcroft name. Jay is consistently polled between 30 and maybe as close to 50% in every poll going back 2 years. But I'll have to say that Jay's number has been consistently declining. He was in the high 40s a year ago, and he's in the mid 30s now. Nobody knows Mike Kehoe. Nobody knows Bill Igel. I mean by that, nobody in a significant way. Obviously, in the local areas, we know all the candidates, especially Bill. But the statewide races, unless you've been in office for a certain period of time and you have a high profile statewide office, Mike Kehoe is lieutenant governor, but that's not a particularly high profile office like the attorney general's office. It really comes down to just money, and you've got to be able to advertise. And, there's four distinct media markets in Kansas City, Columbia, St. Louis, and Springfield. And it costs a lot of money to be up on traditional television. And, all the campaigns utilize all the social media and online ads as well. But Mike's the only one. Mike Kehoe is the only one that can – I think when he starts spending money, he won't stop. And most campaigns are like that. They don't want to spend money, then stop, and then start again. And it's Kehoe's the only one that can afford to spend money, day 100 to, say, day 60. The other campaigns will be saving their money for the stretch run.
So these next few months could get interesting.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I wanted to get your opinion about this situation that unfolded yesterday with the House Ethics Committee, where they voted to dismiss the ethics complaint against Speaker Dean Plocker. And I obviously know he's running for Secretary of State. Any sort of an impact, you think, on his run for that? I mean, does he stand a chance with this? Because even though they dismissed it, is it kind of it's just tarnished at this point?
Well, this is a good example of the public not really understanding what's going on in Jefferson City. Obviously, Dean has been caught up in this ethics committee complaint for 4 or 5 months. I mean, he came out himself and self-reported the fact that he had misreported his spending account. He had charged things to both his campaign account and then his speaker account for reimbursement. And that in and of itself is a pretty deadly thing to have to admit. And then there was all kinds of other issues surrounding his office and then, him working with special interests to try to secure a contract for a third party. Having said all that, that was big news and is big news in Jefferson City, but it's not really well understood across the rest of the state. He for a long time, Dean was going to run for lieutenant governor, and then the last day or two of filing switched to Secretary of State, which, along with everybody else, there's about eight candidates. And so he'll have a certain amount of money, and he'll run his campaign. The key will be that I don't think anybody else in the race will have enough money to really both talk about themselves as, and at the same time attack Dean Plocker and ads. You know, that's going to be a real cluster, that race, with all the different candidates in it, and some of them been campaigning for months, if not years. He's happy to have it be dismissed. It's a big deal in Jeff City. I don't think it's that big of a deal outside of Jeff City.
Mm-hmm. What about sports betting? Because, I mean, a lot of people are pushing for sports betting. I know it's been held up for years. It sounds like they got enough signatures to get it onto the ballot. I would imagine that will be passed. Do you think voters are going to vote it in?
Yeah, this is really the challenge. I mean, I think it's a bad thing. And this is another, not necessarily sports betting, but the fact that really all it takes is an issue like sports betting where it's, you know, maybe it's close to 50-50 or maybe more the public's for it now. And it just takes an issue like that and then a tremendous amount of money on the pro side to get it passed. And it'll pass because the people that are opposed to sports betting won't raise money to articulate why they're opposed. And the people that are for sports betting and all the sports teams are for it, they'll raise enough money and then they'll lend their names to the campaign. So the Cardinals will be for sports betting. The Royals will be for sports betting. And I'm sure it'll pass. It's funny. I get approached in the parking lot of Walmart. And the first question I'm asked by the person trying to get my signature is, would you like there to be more money for education?
Yeah, I've had people say that to me.
Right. Well, for the people that want more money for education, I got a dear little secret. There'll be no more money for education. Whatever money goes from sports betting to education, that just means there'll be less money going to education from the main budget. But I expect that will get on, and I think that'll pass.
Well, and it's sneaky, because you're right. I've had, in fact, at Aldi the other day, a couple days ago, I had two people who asked me that question, and they lead off with that. And I'm sure people are doing that with the abortion initiative petition, where they say, how do you want to, you know, should we protect women? Yeah, okay. Oh, okay, we'll sign this. And then it's like in the fine print, oh, yeah, this is also abortion up until birth, basically.
Yeah, that's what I got approached about, do I want more money for education? I asked them, well, are you for like killing more babies, or are you for like you know, having the state become a bookie? And they just kind of laughed, and I, you know, obviously I passed on both of them, but
yeah
that's it's you know, there's unfortunately we're not going to change the way we do this with a simple majority required to change our constitution, and so much money being made by consultants on these initiative petitions. You know, I expect that this time we'll have, we're obviously going to have the abortion question. We're going to have the sports betting question. And then every 2 years we'll have a bunch more. And it's really not the way we're supposed to make laws. We're a representative democracy. And we really are diluting the ability or the power of the people that we send to represent us. And instead we're ceding it to those with the highest checkbook, the special interest.
Yep. And this is the last week for them to try to collect signatures for abortion, or as they want to call it, women's reproductive rights, which just makes me cringe. So, all right.
I'm with you.
Former Senator John Lamping, thanks so much, as always, for your time.
Oh, great being with you. Take care.
See ya. You too. All right. On the other side of the break, we have In Other News with Ethan.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In Other News.
It seems Eric Church has addressed his polarizing performance at Stagecoach. The acclaimed singer, who headlined the Country Music Festival for the fifth time last week, was blasted online for his gospel-inspired acoustic set. It seemed fans were expecting Church to dazzle the sold-out crowd with an energetic rendition of his hit songs. Yeah, that didn't happen. The country star, along with a 16-person choir, belted out several covers during his 75-minute set on April 26th, and some of those songs included Hallelujah, Take Me to the River, and Stand By Me. And it seemed many people on the ground at Stagecoach in California were very disappointed, and you can find out by going on X. They will let you know.
Funny, we were just talking about this. Even though that sounds amazing, and I love these gospel songs and stuff.
Yeah,
I
mean, it does.
I do feel like when you go to see a particular artist, you do expect to hear at least like one or two of their big hits. So why could he not have done what he did,
but
the covers,
did.
But then
he did
do
a
at
couple.
Least one hit?
He did 31 songs, and 21 of them were covers.
So 10 were hits.
Mm. But they might not have been the hits.
Yeah, he didn't close with Springsteen, which arguably is his biggest hit. But then you had to sit through 30 songs to get to Springsteen. Mm. And if you go to a festival like that, tickets start at $600.
Ooh, okay. Oh, yeah. Wow. But you're seeing how many artists for that amount.
Yeah.
But if you're going there to see Eric Church.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I was making the point earlier that as an artist, I'm sorry, even if it's a 20-year-old song and it's like your banger, you probably should perform it.
Yeah.
Again, I know he did, but anyway, whatever.
Just
but he didn't,
a couple
the song
from the new
I just
album.
Played, he didn't play that.
He did not play Drink Your Head. Carl mentioned this earlier. Taylor Swift made history once again as she claimed the top 14 spots on the Billboard Hot 100 song chart. That's going to be dated May 4th. All the tracks were led by Fortnite, featuring Post Malone, and are from her freshly released album, The Tortured Poets Department. She also charted 32 songs, all 31 from the new album. Plus, as Carl said, Cruel Summer. And that was that's something no one's ever done before. So I heard, Carl, and you have a bet. Is that true about this?
Yes.
How many will make the top?
40.
40.
If she can land 31 songs in the top 40. I don't think she's doing
that. I think she's going to get close, but not hit that.
If anyone's counting, I found out the song at number 15 is Benson Boone's.
You did say it. I don't remember what it's called.
Something things.
Do, 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 do.
No.
Do, do, do. No.
Damn it.
All right.
Well, we'll fill in
beautiful,
while you're looking at
beautiful
it.
Things. Mm. Beautiful Things, which starts really slow and then gets good at the end.
If anyone can pull it off, it's going to be her. Travis Kelce just signed a 2-year agreement with the Kansas City Chiefs, and his brother actually just signed something with ESPN. He is going to be part of the Monday Night Countdown, which is the network's Monday Night Football program. It's their pre-show. The news comes less than 2 months after Jason Kelce just retired in his tearful retirement speech.
Oh, that's a good idea. He's funny. That'll
he
be
is.
Good.
I think he he'll be really good on it.
But they just dumped Boomer Esiason and I think Jim Nance on NFL Today because they're going younger, and those guys were in their 60s.
Oh, well, that's kind of
strange. Ageism.
Well, did Travis Kelce go to the Chiefs and be like, do you know how much publicity I got our team because of my girlfriend? I deserve more.
I don't think he had to. I think Patrick Mahomes was, you're going to sign this guy. And they pretty much did.
Oh, yeah, like probably they didn't think they were going to sign him.
Yeah, I know.
the one of the
best tight ends ever. Let's
he's
not
only the best tight end or second best tight end ever.
Sorry, Gronk.
It looks like Jerry Seinfeld sparked some serious debate about the state of comedy in a new podcast interview. The sitcom legend shared his thoughts about how television has changed during a recent episode of the New Yorker's Radio Hour, where he blamed the extreme left and PC crap for the lack of quality laughs on the screen.
I would agree.
Well, yeah. I mean, how's that arguable?
They did. They were saying, though, that, what's his name that just ended Curb?
Larry David.
Yeah, Larry David. They're like, look at his show. It's not really getting censored in any way, but.
You can't watch a children's cartoon these days without somehow it being woke.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. They find Bluey. Little sneaky ways. I heard Bluey. Yeah, I heard there was something added to that.
Mark,
like
well,
two
there's
dads
a,
or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, there's a same-sex couple, but it's like on screen for all of 2 minutes. I think. Not even that, and it's not mentioned.
But that's what they do. They start, they don't mention it, they put it in, it's sneaky, it's kind of understated, and then maybe next episode when no one really complains about it, they just find other ways to make it louder and louder.
I honestly, if you watch it, they're dogs. You don't know which ones are males and which ones are females.
I thought
I'm not going to lie.
A boy.
Well, I talked to a story.
Everybody did.
I talked about a story yesterday where it was like a dog identifying as a cat, and that's how they're trying to teach elementary school students in Georgia to be LGBTQ inclusive. My goodness, get out of here. We're tired of all this PC woke nonsense in everything. Still to come, we're talking to Todd Pyro, and it's 2A Tuesday with Mark Walters.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!
Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.